Okay, welcome to Tanya Definitions up to Ice Dullard. Last week we well actually we had a break last week. Sorry, by the way, please excuse me for just not turning up. I can't remember, but it's not a good excuse. Sorry. So Dullard. We did Gimel was Gullus, basically, and just on one foot we basically explained that Gullus, anyone who wants to throw out a definition of Gullus on one foot, just in a few words.
Means and not ends to means.
Are mixing. I hear what you're saying. Basically, the way we said it is a break between essence and expression. When you are not when the behavior is not aligned with the being, that's called gullus. So Hashem is in gullus now because the world isn't running according to Torah. When the world is fully aligned with Torah, that means that the Shechina comes out of Gullus, because Hashem is getting to behave, like we've said so many times. When it says in the Tanya that he was miyached his malchus with us, that means that he basically gave us, Am Yisrael, his behavior. That's an amazing idea. He gave us his behavior. And that's the reason why when you see your children behaving well, yeah, I'm not talking, I'm being, I'm, I don't mean like just being like, I mean like being genuinely good. When you see your kids being good, like if you ever see, I just always remember one of my little boy Yochanan running to help a lady with her what's it called, her buggy, what you call that, not agala, her stroller. She was schlepping her stroller up some stairs. And he ran literally without me saying anything, but I hadn't even thought about helping her until he ran and he picked up this stroller and helped her up these stairs. And we had waited in the boiling heat for Rav Manis for like 3 hours or something. It was a real annoying thing, and it was all worth it. Just to see my boy be good, do good, was just worth it 100%. And that's the feeling, and that's the idea. That's why we say the expression is that when we behave correctly, we give Hashem a nachas ruach. Why? Because ruach is emotions. So it's the emotions that are expressed through behavior. So when we behave correctly, his emotions go, ah. And that's called a nachas ruach. That's called giving Hashem a nachas ruach. Just like when you, havdil, the hayfech, when you're angry, yeah, and like if you're, let's say you're very angry with one of your kids, and you come in, it's happened to me on a few occasions. I've walked into my bedroom, my wife's there, and I'm like, I hate him, yeah. That's giving an expression to a negative emotion, and you all of a sudden just feel like ah, oh. And then you can go out and talk like a mensch to him again. Until you say that or do that or punch the wall or shout or something, that can also backfire because it can generate more negative emotion. But the emotion needs to get released, needs to get expressed, and that's called a nachas ruach, and that's called a geula. That means your emotion goes into geula. Okay.
That's a personal geula, just, but what would be a national geula? Would it be like a
That's
majority?
when the world is living according to Torah and mitzvahs. That's Hashem's behavior. Hashem wants to do Torah and mitzvahs.
Would that be a majority of people or everybody? How do you think?
L'chore would have to be that for Geula Shleima would mean every chelik of creation, including the ants, including everything, will be aligned with him perfectly. That's what we're looking forward to. That's really what we're looking forward to. Hashem finally being able to go, oh, thank God, like that.
Thank God. Thank God. It's funny.
Yeah.
Thank him.
Just as a side point, which I think is a very wonderful thing to think about, is I spoke about this with Rav Noach Weinberg. Yeah, it's a really interesting thing to think about. Rav Noach Weinberg built Eishes Torah. Yeah, Eishes Torah is obviously an important part of Olam Hazeh. Yeah, it's doing great things. It's brought a lot of Yidden back. I mean, it brought me back to Yiddishkeit in a sense. It brought a lot of us back to Yiddishkeit, and Noach Weinberg basically built it. Okay, Now, let me ask you a question. If Rav Noach hadn't have gotten, serious about building Eishes Torah and instead got caught up in, YouTube shorts and Instagram and TikTok,
No.
yeah, Chas v'Shalom, how difficult would it be for Hashem to build Eishes Torah? If Rav Noach knew he should have done it and he basically, he flaked out and he didn't do it, how difficult would it have been for Hashem to have had that institution built?
You pick somebody else.
Bingo, new guy comes through, a new team of people come through, you put them together, the organization's built. But let me ask you another question. What if Rav Noach decided not to put on tefillin? How easy would it be for Hashem to put tefillin on his arm if he decided not to put on tefillin? That's a trip to think about. That's the difference between avoider and tough kid. Yeah, we have an avoider in this world, which is the same for everyone. That's called milchamas ha'yetzer. However you want to define that, if you want to pretty it up and call it divine service or whatever you want to call it, fighting the yetzer, whatever you want, call it whatever you want. Yeah, but that's for all of us. But we each have a different tough kid. Everyone has a tough kid that is shaykh to their chelik of olam hazeh. Where whatever you're doing, yeah, everyone understands what their own tough kid is. If you don't stand up to the plate for your tough kid, yeah, the Ribbono Shel Olam is very easily able to maneuver around that. But if you don't stand up to your avoider, meaning if you don't choose to be a great parent, you don't choose to be a good husband, yeah, then you've put Hashem in a really compromised position. Because if you don't decide to build your million-dollar organization to save the Russian Jews, yeah, fine. So Vladimir will pop up in Moscow and do it himself. Yeah, Vladimir Cohen. But if you throw in the towel on your Shalom Bias, which is the avoider, or on your Chinuch Banim, or on any of the personal avoiders, yeah, then Hashem's in a really kind of difficult position. You with me? It's an amazing thought to think about that, because we get it's so easy to get confused, because we live in this world where there's so much, everyone's building an organization, and everybody wants to be a mashpia, what's it called, an influencer, and everyone wants an audience, and everyone wants to be, changing the world, okay, we got tefillin and we got davening and we got Limud Torah and we got Shalom Bayis and got all the other avoiders as well, yeah. But okay, it's important, yeah. But it's not like the same as building Eishes Torah, yeah. It's completely for carrot, completely for carrot. It's just there's much more ego involved and much more geschmack involved in the big tough kiddim, yeah. But that's a secondary. That's really a side point. And your avoider can never take a second seat to the tough kid. You can't ever compromise your avoider because of your tough kid. You can compromise your tough kid because you're avoider, but probably you won't have to. But you definitely can't compromise your avoider because you're a tough kid. I don't know if the Bavitch Rebbe would agree with that.
A vote is more important than the top kid, is what you just said.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I don't know if the Lubavitcher Rebbe would agree with that. The whole thing with the Lubavitcher Rebbe was his whole thing about shlichus was the idea of sending Yidden out into a basically being Mesiras Nefesh Elokis, not being Mesiras Nefesh, being Mesiras Nefesh Elokis. He was basically drafting Yidden to go beyond their Nefesh Elokis. Not to be no Moser Nefesh, but to actually go beyond the Nefesh of the Kis. That was his whole thing. So anyway, okay, so into Dalad. Okay, so the first one in Dalad is Das, but that we're going to get to in the Esser Koiches of Nefesh, its own thing. So the next one is Dira B'Tachtonim. That's a big one. What is Dira B'Tachtonim?
Well, if you are living a life of geula, that's dira b'tachtonim. If your behavior is matching your essence, that's dira b'tachtonim.
Him coming into his Dira B'Tachtonim. First question, yeah, why is it called Dira B'Tachtonim? Why not Dira Tachton? Why do we have to have tachtonim? Yeah.
What's the definition of what's the definition of that?
Well, tachton just means the bottom, the lowest. Tachtonim means the same thing, just why is it plural? And this is really the whole inyan is in that. Really, it should be dira tachtona. Yeah, that would make sense. But it's called dira b'tachtonim, meaning he wants to come into the tachtonim. Yeah, plural. That's what he wants. He wants to come into the multiplicity of Olam Hazeh. The difference between God and creation is the difference between Aleph and Beis. Creation is multiplicity. That's why the Torah begins with the Beis. And the Ribono Shel Olam is Echad, Yochid, the Miyuchad. So the great example of Dira B'Tachtonim, which would be called Malchus Shemayim Ba'aretz, is the Havdil Amazon. Yeah, as we've said many times, but I've just been involved in a heavy purchase from Amazon. I just brought up Jeff Bezos's fortune by a few pennies. That, as we said, when the guy steps out of his black Amazon bag and hands you the useless garden implement that you didn't need to buy, yeah, that is in all for all intents and purposes, that is Jeff Bezos himself handing you that useless thing that you bought. Yeah, that's basically him enclosed in this person. That's how it works. So Jeff Bezos is one, and his organization, which remember we define. We translate Malchus as organization. That's a really helpful translation for Malchus. Yeah, so Hashem's organization, which is called Malchus Shemayim, and every organization, yeah, if you own a business, if you were to be talking to Moshe Rabbeinu about your business, you'd refer to your organization as your Malchus. And when the whole system is in line, and the guy who works at Amazon at the bottom of the pyramid is behaving correctly as he should, yeah, that means Jeff Bezos has come down and his ratzon has been mispashet, has spread out down into the lowest level. And that lowest level is not typified, what's the way to say it? That lowest level is that lowest level is always a reboy. It's always a multiplicity. Okay, that's the idea of as you see as the pyramid. That's why it's called a pyramid. Yeah, I know that nowadays they have very complex company structures and they flatten them and stuff like this. Yeah, but this it's still basically always will a. It will always, it gets more complex, but the basic idea is a pyramid. You've got the guy on the top, the CEO, and then you've got like the CFO and the COO and this whatever it is, and then you've got the advisors and the managing directors, and then you've got the supervisors and the accounts people, and then you've got the mailmen and the delivery people, and you've got all the machines and whatever, and it just spreads out and out and out and out and out. So an organization is actually I can't think of the word. Not typified, is always expressed, maybe, excuse me, in a reboy, in a multiplicity. You with me, Mike? You look confused. You got it?
I'm trying to think of the word you're
I'm
trying to
trying to
think
think
of.
of the word. You know what I'm saying? It's whatever it is. Manifest.
A quick question. You said before the difference between Hashem and is it like the difference between Aleph and Bet? It's the difference between Hashem and creation.
Creation is symbolized by the letter Beis, and Hashem is symbolized by the letter Aleph. The Aleph is Hashem for many reasons. Number one, it's one. Aleph itself is Aluf, means Alufa Shel Olam, the master of the world. It also manifest it's silent, it has no sound, but with if you put it before or after any letter and in any different nikud, it can manifest every single sound. Yes, yeah, so it's silent, yet it can manifest every single sound. That sounds very godly. And also it's made of a vav and two yuds, depending on what chapter in the Arizal you're looking at. And that equals 26, which is Shem Havaya. And it's one, like we said, anyway. So it's Allah, also Allah, Ahmad, Aleph Lamed Pei. You know, you've got the five Motzer Seper, yeah, the five places in the mouth, the five tools of articulation. You've got the throat, which is the guttural letters, which is Ches and Ayin, also Aleph. Yeah, then you've got the palate. 1 minute. No, then you've got another one. Then you've got the palate. Then you've got the tongue. Oh no, yeah. So you've got the throat, the palate, which is like lamed and kaf. You see your tongue hits the top of your mouth. Yeah, that's so the guttural letters are mamash in the throat. They're the deepest. They're the closest to who you are. Then the palatial, the palate letters. I've forgotten what it's called in Hebrew. That's like lamed and kaf, and there's others. That's the back of the throat, but coming higher than the gutturals. Then you've got the tongue, which is dullard. Yeah, dullard. And then you've got the teeth, which is like tsadi. And then you've got the lips, which is like mem, bays. Yeah. Bays, like we just said, is creation outer level. But you've got with Aleph, you've got Aleph is the deepest, Lamed is further out, and Pei is on the lips, which is so it's an expression of Hashem moving outward, expressing himself in creation. That's a side point. So Aleph is one, creation is a multiplicity, and the Ribbono Shel Olam desires to be in his multiplicity. That's called Dira B'Tachtonim. And it's called a Dira. The reason why it's called Dira is because a Dira is a place where you feel comfortable. When we say a Dira, we don't mean like a dormitory. In Hebrew, we call it a pnimiya. Yeah, we mean a house. Really, Dira is a code word for a home, not even a house, a home, a wife. And a Dira B'Tachtonim means the marriage of Hashem with the lower world. That's what we're talking about. That means Hashem feels comfortable, which means we are taking care of his business in this world. That's what comfortable means. Comfortable means that there's no break, there's no disconnect between you. And like, for example, everyone's been to someone's house, yeah, where they're like really finicky about stuff. And when you're a kid, I remember when I was a kid, I would go to a certain friend's house and you had to take your shoes off, and there was a room you weren't allowed to go in, and and you just don't know where to put yourself, and then they have the stupid plastic on the carpet, and one of the mother's there looking at you, making sure that you don't do anything, So, like, who's Ikka, who's Tofel in that situation? The mother's Ikka, and I'm Tofel, and I have to abide by her rules. Yeah, that's called being uncomfortable in a house. Being comfortable in a house is when you go into someone's house and they say to you, "This is your house as much as it's my house. Help yourself to whatever you want, do whatever you want. This is your house." Like what you just said, Michael, with your car. Yeah, that just made me feel very comfortable. That is called Dira B'Tachtonim, where we are so aligned with Ratzon Hashem, we're not putting our shtick on Hashem. We're not saying to Hashem, I know you want to fill in and Kriya Shema, but you just wait, please, while I deal with my things, and I'll do that when I'm ready for it. Yeah, that's like Hashem. That's like when you're a kid being in that annoying woman's house. Yeah, whereas when you're like, yeah, I really have got this and that to do, but it's Talis and Tefillin and Kriya Shema, I'll put that to the side and I'll get on with my mitzvahs. That's like Hashem now. His agenda has taken precedence over my agenda, and that's called Dira B'Tachtonim. He feels comfortable in that situation. It's a really lovely imagery. Basically, we need to be hospitable. We need to be good hosts, which means making your guest feel at home. That's what it means. Feel at home means you do as you wish. You do as you wish in your home. That's the definition of being at home. It's a place where you feel comfortable. And that's what Dira B'Tach Toinim and Be'ikah is. I should probably mention this. There's two models of Yiddishkeit that I know of. Okay. Two very different models of Yiddishkeit. This might seem a little bit contentious, but I'm not saying who's right, who's wrong. I definitely feel the Dira B'Tach Toinim model is correct, especially compared to the other one. But the two models can be called, one can be called Dira B'Tach Toinim, and the other one can be called Yiridus HaDoiros. Ben, you just said something.
I'm trying to pronounce it for myself. Did you say Yiridus
Yiridus HaDoiros,
HaDoros? Okay.
Yet HaDorot, like Yiridus HaDoiros, the going down of the Doiros, meaning that we were doing really well at some time in history, and it's just been a downhill battle. It's just so not a down, it's just been a downhill process now where we are utterly pathetic, and the Geula will come not so much from our heroic efforts, but as a kind of Rahmanas on us. Yeah, which is really the way that, and I don't think the Ramchal meant this bichlal. I think he didn't mean this at all. When you read the Ramchal, when you've got some kind of Musag of Tanya, it reads very, very differently to how the yeshivas read the Ramchal, like really differently. Maybe even you could say opposite in many ways. But anyway, so you read this, it's basically is like a Rahmanas. Yeah, that we've just become more and more pathetic. And then eventually Hashem is like, I just can't take this anymore, guys. Here you go. Here's Mashiach, here's Geula, here's Tchias HaMeisim. Yeah. Dira B'Tach Toinim basically claims the opposite, that although maybe the graphics look a little bit worse, that maybe we don't look like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Akiva and the Rambam and the Arizal and the Baal Shem Tov v'chulei. Not even with Dessler and with Moshe Feinstein. Maybe we don't look like them, but maybe we're not really concerned too much about the graphics. And maybe we're at this level now where we can access deep, deep avodah lishma that was not even available to previous generations. Not that we're better than previous generations, chas v'shalom, but we're not worse. It's not. There's no comparison. It's like, are you better than what you were when you were 15 years old? That's a stupid thing to say. You are what you are because of what you were when you were 15. So to talk about comparing yourself to when you were a child, that's just silly. It's just like that's what Am Yisrael is. Am Yisrael is a nation that has matured over the years. And even though it doesn't look as impressive as maybe it has done in the past, yeah, that's just the external. That's just the graphics. And the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't really care about the graphics. He cares much more about what's going on inside. Rachmana Lieber boy. He really cares about what's going on underneath the graphics. And what I've learned from my Rebbe, which he really learned from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Be'ikah, is that in our generation, as we've said many, many times, we are zoicha to a access to a genuine avodah lishma. Mamush. And that's called Dir B'Tach Toinim. It's the opposite of Yiridus HaDoiros. And if you look, there's a cute little thing to say is that if you look in the Chumash, you remember where there's the big Dalet in the Chumash?
Ashma.
Yeah, a big Dalet in the Shema. You remember where there's a big Resh? It says El Acher, talking about don't bow to other gods, don't serve other gods. Yeah. And the reason why there's a big Dalet, one of the reasons, I think it's, is it the Sifsei Chachamim saying? Someone said, not Rashi, but someone says there that because you could mix up a Dalet with a Resh and you say Hashem Acher, Chas V'Shalom. So we need to say a big Dalet. And then by El Acher, which says don't bow to other gods, you can mix it up and say a dalad, kel echad, and it would say don't bow to kel echad, chas v'shalom. So there's this inyan of the dalad and the resh, yeah? The resh is negative and the dalet is very positive. Just that little chick-chuck of the yud on the corner of the resh creates the dalet. So we know that there's this. I mean, they look very similar as well, the dalet and the resh. They look very similar. So you have to be careful to make sure that when you say dalet, you don't say resh. When you're reading a dalet, you don't read a resh. When you're reading a resh, you don't read a dalet. Yeah. Dira b'tachtoinim, dira is loshen dalet resh. Dira. Yoridus hadoiris, yorid is resh dalet, dor is dalet resh. This is my own chiddush, but that's like a mix-up of the resh dalet dalet resh. Yoridus hadoiris, which is yorid is resh dalet and dor is dalet resh, or dira b'tachtonim, the dalet and the resh going into the tachtonim with the dalet leading the way. The resh is the riboy, the acher, which would be the riboy. So the dalet is going into the riboy, and that goes into the tachtonim. So that's just my own little cute observation, but. Anyway, so that's Dirbatachtoinim.
Well, that's more than cute. That was really good. Does that so what you're trying to say, it sounds like we are trying to say that Dira B'Tachtonim is more, we're more aligned with that model of Yiddishkeit, right? And that people who get the Dalets and the Reishes mixed up are going with the Yiridas HaDoros model.
I didn't say it quite outright like you did, but I was kind of the in look. There's many people who are infinitely bigger than me who don't talk about Dira B'Tachtonim and talk about Yiridus HaDoros. Okay, so I'm not. All I'm saying is that to me, from the little bit of learning that I've done, Dira B'Tachtonim seems like a much more sensible model. Just makes much more
Well,
sense to me.
it's empowering. The other one is schlep. He makes like a schlepper.
Absolutely. That's how I feel. Other people might not feel that way, but also that's what I've learned from my Rebbe as well. So not only, I mean, the ikkah is that that's the Masorah that I have. That's the ikkah. But on top of that, it makes a huge amount of sense to me. And like you just said, the Yiridus HaDoros model is not. It doesn't resonate with me. It doesn't make sense to me. It basically, if you really think about it, like cold, cold and coldly. Analytically, whatever the word you want to use, is it's basically like you're just getting. It's like Hashem is like a bad guy. Like you're just getting more and more pathetic, and then he's eventually just throws his hands up in the air, and he's like, I just can't take this anymore. Here, have Mashiach, have Tchias HaMeisim. Whereas Dira B'Tachtonim says it looks like everything's getting worse and worse and worse, but you need to know you're going up and up and up. And you're in this tremendous position now where you actually have access to serve Hashem, mamish lishma, which means that makes sense. It's not that everything's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, and then Hashem saves you. It's everything's been getting better and better and better and better. And we've been putting more and more water in the bucket, so to speak. And now the bucket's full. And it's that just makes so much sense to me. And you're right, the graphics have gone downhill, but the avoider has actually gone uphill. That makes a huge amount of sense. That doesn't paint Hashem to be the bad guy in my mind. In my mind, anyway. So look, we'll hold here because the net will we start hay next week. So we'll hold here. Oh, next week. I will next week. We're not on because I'm going to be in transit, Bezrat Hashem, and then the other classes I'll give in person in LA, Bezrat Hashem. So hopefully, although actually I'm going to be in Magic Mountain on Thursday, so we won't. Whatever, we'll work it out, Bezrat Hashem. I'm looking forward to seeing it, everyone. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone should have a Lag BaOmer.
Is there a previous year that you have on Lag BaOmer that maybe you can post?
There's a few shim. Yeah, okay, Blina, I'll put it up. There's a few shim. They're a bit deep, like a little heavy.
If you could post to the chat, that'd be great.
Something quick and cute to say right now. I'll say just a quick halacha that I learned, which spun everything on its head, which is amazing, is I read that book. Oh, Michael, I know that I'm going to finish it, but I took a big jump into that book you gave me from Rabbi Glatstein. It's very nice, very, very lovely book. And one of the things he said there, which was really nice, really spun things on its head for me, is the idea of listening to music after Lag BaOmer. Who listens to music here after Lag BaOmer? Okay, so I didn't until now, but I'm going to this year because of this halakha that I learned. That basically the way he paints this idea of the sphera is the sphera. There's a mourning pit. Well, really, sphera is, according to the Ramban, it's like a cholamoid between Pesach and Shavuos. From Pesach to Shavuos is like one big chag, and the whole sphera is the moed, the cholamoid. Yeah. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, but we know that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim were dying until Lag BaOmer. So I always understood that the whole period of the Omer was kind of a down period, yeah. And therefore you don't cut your hair, and you don't listen to music, yeah, Be'ikah. But then the way that Rabbi Glatzstein portrayed it, according to one day, is that no, the reason why you don't cut your hair and the reason why you don't listen to music are two different things. You don't cut your hair because it's like a Chol HaMoed. And the women don't do during the time of Sfira, the women don't do or we don't, sorry, we don't do like Chol HaMoed Dikah Malachas, yeah? Until we've counted Sfira. That's basically the halacha. So, like this. So you don't, so the whole time, yeah, from Pesach until Shavuos, the Arizal says you don't cut your hair because it's like Chol HaMoed. You don't cut your hair on Chol HaMoed. But the not listening to music, you don't cut your hair because you don't not cut your hair because it's a mourning period. You through the Omem until Lag BaOmer, maybe you don't cut your hair because it's an Omem, but it's because of the Chol HaMoed aspect. So once the mourning period finishes by Lag BaOmer, now you can listen to music because it's not that you cut your hair because the cutting your hair is a din on Chol HaMoed, but music's completely mutter on Chol HaMoed. It's just so until Lag BaOmer, when there's that din of Avelis because of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, yeah, until then you don't listen to music. But from Lag BaOmer, there's a big tzad to say that you can listen to music but still not cut your hair. I thought that was lovely. Anyway, so we should be zocher to Lag BaOmer, light a fire, and maybe say hello to Rabbi Shimon. And yeah, okay, zayik isn't. Forward to seeing everyone.